Thank you very much, worship team. At this time, we'll dismiss our youth to their Sunday school class. You guys are free to go, and for us in here, let's take our Bibles out, church family. You can find Luke chapter 2. It's going to be our focus for this morning, but also you can find Romans chapter 5 if you have two fingers. Slip those in there. We're going to work our way back and forth between Luke chapter 2 and Romans chapter 5 this morning. Well, over the past couple of weeks during this season of Advent, we've been listening to the voices of hope from the cast of Christmas, looking at the different characters involved in the Christmas story. From Isaiah 2 weeks ago, we heard the promise of comfort and joy. And from Mary last week, we learned of the power of the Most High. This morning, we turn our attention to the angels. And from the angels, we will hear a proclamation of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God and peace on earth to men. Peace. Maybe we should all just like take a deep breath. Just like as you're, and just take a deep breath and just think about peace. Like Dave, doesn't that sound awesome right now? Peace, man. I mean, like, I have a lot of things on my Christmas list. It's very long this year, but peace would, no, it's not, I'm just joking. But peace would be way up at the top. I mean, we all want peace. There'd be nothing higher than peace. I would love to have peace in all my various relationships, in the relationships with my friends and with my family and with my neighbors. We would love peace within our church. We would love peace within our globe. And we would certainly love to have inner peace, right? We'd rather have inner peace than sleepless nights, anxiety, and guilt. I'll tell you what, if I could buy peace, which I'm sure if we could buy peace, I wouldn't be able to afford it. But if I could afford it, I would buy everyone here peace. But is that how we obtain peace? Can we buy peace? No, go talk to some of the richest people in the world and see how much peace they have in their lives. And by the way, don't assume that everyone around you is living in peace. You know, sometimes we look at other people and their situations, it seems like they're living peaceably, but we're very good at faking peace. If you don't believe me, just go to another family Christmas gathering. Sometimes we're very good at like acting like, yeah, everything is great, but inside, internally, there's a storm brewing. And behind closed doors, we don't always see what's actually happening. What am I trying to say with all this? Simply this, that peace is it's something that we all want. It's something that we all want, it's something we all long for, but by our experience and living in this broken world and through all the struggles and trials, it almost seems like it's unattainable. It almost seems like true peace is actually impossible. And so sometimes when we come to a verse like this and we hear the angels at the Christmas story saying peace on earth is possible, we kind of think, well, okay, it's a nice sentiment, it sounds nice, but it can't actually be true. Maybe we treat it like a Hallmark Christmas movie. Like, yeah, it's nice, but it's a little bit over the top. It's obviously fake. So are the angels lying here? Is God lying? Certainly not. The scriptures speak only truth. And the scriptures tell us that peace, true peace, is possible. And the angels here again remind us of where it is found. We sang about it this morning. True peace on earth is only found in the Prince of Peace. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Paul also reminds us how we can access this peace. If it's found in Christ, how do we actually access it? Because we can't buy it, we can't manufacture it on our own, but we can access it through faith. Look what Paul says in Romans 15 and verse 13. He says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and fill you with all peace in believing. Through faith and by God's grace, we can actually have peace with God. And this is the most fundamental, this is the most important peace. This is the peace that the angels are talking about here. It's peace with God, which leads then to peace within ourselves and peace with the others around us. And so I'm going to encourage you this morning in various ways to make peace this Christmas season. Make peace. And now you're thinking I'm contradicting myself. Wait, I thought you just said we cannot manufacture peace. What do you mean make peace? We can't manufacture peace on our own. Peace is a gift from God. It's a gift from God, but he doesn't force it upon us. He doesn't coerce us into it against our will. The offer of peace is there, but we have the choice to receive or reject this Prince of Peace. And so obtaining peace requires faith. It requires action. It requires an act of the will. And so I just want to use the angel's words here of peace on earth as kind of a jumping off point. And I want to encourage us this Christmas season to make peace with God, to make peace within ourselves, to make peace with others, and finally to make peace with our suffering. So let's go to number one. Let's look at make peace with God. Now again, this verse, as we look at this verse, it's very famous. It's splashed all over our Christmas cards. Many of us know it very well. Maybe many of us are more familiar with the King James version of this verse that says, on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. But there's like overwhelming scholarly consensus that that's a terrible translation of this saying, because it kind of makes it seem like two different things, that either everyone in the world will have peace in Christ, which we know to be false, or that just those who are good enough, they can somehow obtain peace in Christ. But from the scriptures, we know that's not true. We go to the book of Ephesians, which we studied not too long ago. It tells us that salvation is not the result of works. It comes by grace. It comes through faith. We also learn in the book of Ephesians that God has predestined for himself a chosen people. And so perhaps a more accurate translation of this verse might read something like this: peace for those on whom his gracious kindness, his favor rests. Meaning simply that the offer of God's peace, it goes out to the whole world, but only those who receive the gift become the sons of peace. So if you want true peace, this is where it starts. If you want to know true peace, it starts with peace with God. And if you're not at peace with God, you will not have peace in this life, nor in the next. And peace with God begins with recognizing the fundamental problem of your heart, which is sin. Sin is the problem of our heart. It has separated us from that right relationship with God. And from conception, our hearts are sinful. From conception, our hearts are actually hostile towards God. We resist God. We resist his good will. We resist his authority and his good rule over our lives. And instead, we are committed to self. We're committed to me. We think things will go better for us if we assert our independence. If only I can take charge of my life. If only I can take control, then everything will be okay. Then I'll finally be happy. But it's a lie. It's a lie. Just like the devil tempted Adam and Eve to do what? To doubt God's word, to doubt God's authority, to doubt God's goodness, he continues to do the same thing today. And through many worldly messages, he feeds our egos, which only grows our self-deception. He says things like, you do you. You do you. Live your own truth. Follow your heart. Follow your dreams. And all these things seem to be the path of peace. Like Caleb mentioned in his prayer this morning, the world has all these different paths to peace, but they're simply recipes for greater disaster. Look around. I know some of you are news junkies. Does it seem like we have peace on earth? No, you see, left to ourselves, without God, what do? We cheat, we steal, we lie, we murder. We're just like Cain and Abel, right from the beginning of scriptures. Cain and Abel, all the way through the Old Testament, the Bible shows us what humanity is like without God. There can be no peace on earth if there is no peace with God. But here's the good news of Christmas. Here's the good news, that God and sinners can be reconciled. Amen? We sang that this morning, that God and sinners can be reconciled through what? Through our own works? No, through somebody else. Through a mediator, through somebody who can bridge that gap and solve this problem. That's why Jesus came and lived a sinless life. And he offered that life as a payment to God, because sin can't go unpunished. He died on the cross, he rose again, and he offers us his perfect righteousness. Why? So that we can be at peace with God. And again, how is it that we access that peace, that salvation? We access it by faith. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is resting in the work of God on your behalf. It's trusting his promise that he will restore you and heal you. It is, in one sense, simple. In another sense, extremely deep and absolutely beautiful. We take God at his word. When we take God at his word, when we trust in his promise, he will justify us. But that involves laying down our pride. Let me ask you a question, and don't raise your hand, because that would be really awkward. But are you a person that likes to be in control? Like, be honest. Are you a person that likes to be in control? You got to control everything. See, if you're trying to assert your own independence from God, if you keep trying to do life your way, that's not the path to peace with God. But maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you're like uber religious. And religious can be good and religious can also be bad. By religious, I mean you're the kind of person that says, I'm going to learn everything it says for me to do in the Bible, and I'm going to do everything God tells me. I'm going to obey perfectly, so therefore he must bless me. He has to bless me because I'm doing everything he told me to do. See, this too is also an effort to control God, not to trust him. This is works that's earning, that's not grace. We are selfish and prideful in so many ways. We seek control of our own lives. But to have peace with God, we need to humble ourselves. Come to the end of self. See our need for the Savior. Embrace his mercy. We repent. We turn away from pride. We turn away from sin. Only Jesus Christ can justify you. And when he does, his anger towards sin is put away. Like when he justifies you, your rebellion against him is put away. He adopts you into his family. Have you seen the newer Grinch? You know how sad he was when he was an orphan? Maybe I was the only one that watched it, but anyway. He was an orphan, man, and he was being separated from God. And yet, through Christ, he brings us back into his family. Now he does everything for our good. Everything for our good. He will never be against you. He is always for you. Even in the midst of trials and discipline and testing, he is your father. He is your friend. He can provide for you a peace that passes understanding. He can give you a sustainable joy that carries you even in the midst of your darkest moments. Peace with God is what we need, and we access it by faith. So make peace with God this Christmas. Number two, I'd say let's make peace within ourselves, because peace with God naturally leads into this next point. How can I be at peace with myself? I mean, I'm talking about like internally. Well, if we have peace with God, then we can actually grow in the enjoyment of that peace within ourselves. You see, apart from God, guilt and anxiety paralyze us. Is there anything worse than guilt? How it just cripples? It gives us a sense of hopelessness, right? But in Christ, God says he will actually guard our hearts. He will guard our minds by his peace. But this too, again, we access this guarding, this protection by faith. As Christians, we have peace with God, okay? But to walk in peace, we need to continually remember. We need to continually trust the promises and trust what it is that we already have in Christ in order to walk in peace. Maybe Paul's words in Philippians chapter 4 will help us understand this. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, your prayers be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your heart. It will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And so the picture here is kind of think about our hearts and our minds, and they're constantly under assault, even as the believer. They're under assault from guilt and from worries and threats and confusion and uncertainty and temptations and lies from the enemy. And all of these things, they're threatening our peace. They're trying to steal our joy. But God is always working for our good. And he wants to supernaturally, that is by his Holy Spirit, he wants to guard our hearts and protect our minds. He wants to actually take our burdens and our anxieties upon himself, and he wants to carry them for us. He wants to protect us. But again, here we need to be active in faith. We need to be taking these things to God in prayer and trusting him to carry those burdens on our behalf. Paul says it again in Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. You have everything you need in Christ. That's not just something that we say. That's the truth. You have access to unlimited power. You do not have to live a life as a believer racked by guilt and fear and anxiety. You can live in peace. You have the Holy Spirit within you. The power of the resurrected Christ resides in you. But are you accessing it by faith? Are you turning to God when you need renewal? See, we turn to the lesser things of the world, right? And they provide temporary happiness. We turn to Netflix and we'll binge a series. I just want to forget about all my problems and just escape for a while. We turn to chocolate or food. Maybe chocolate's not your thing. Maybe you're more salty. Chips. I could go for chips or cereal. Oh man, that's my weakness. Or maybe just straight up avoidance. Let's just pretend like it's not happening. We turn to these things. They're temporary band-aids. But they lead a deeper void in the future. It's not the path to peace. You have everything you need right now in Christ. You want to be renewed. Turn to him. Turn to him. Trust him. Look at all the promises. Remember again what you have. Get on your knees and pray and give these things over to the Lord. Make peace with God this Christmas. Make peace within yourself. Okay, so like everything I'm saying so far, does that mean like if we're talking about peace at Christmas time, that Christmas only brings peace to the Christian? Not at all, not at all. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus also calls us his children, his apprentices, to be peacemakers. Not peacekeepers, peacemakers. And so let's make peace with others this Christmas. Your heavenly Father, he is a peacemaker. Jesus Christ is a peacemaker. So when we, as his children, as his followers who are at peace with God, when we go out and we actively seek peace, when we pursue peace in our families and in our communities, then we are doing God's will. We are reflecting the heart of our Father, the heart of Christ, and we are joining Jesus in his mission. Now, are we going to obtain global peace? No, of course not. That is a future reality. That's coming in the new heavens and the new earth. We will be at peace forever, and we long for that. I know we long for that. And it's a good thing to know the future and to put our hope in what is to come, to have assurance in that. That assurance of future, unlimited peace should lead us to radical obedience right now. Because right now the world sits in sin and error pining. Ooh, you see what I did there? Like a little Christmas thingy. Thank you. Is that the same song? I was like, if that was the same song, that would have been amazing. The only peace to be found right now on the earth is peace in Christ. So what should we be doing as Christians? We need to be proclaimers of peace. Amen? Amen? We need to be proclaiming the gospel and the good news. The world has enough bad news, enough darkness, enough chaos. We are the proclaimers of peace. And so if we should be doing anything this Christmas, we should be sharing the gospel. And we should be pursuing peace in the various relationships that we have, at least as much as lies within us to do. Now again, I think anyone here, nobody would disagree with anything I've said so far, likely. Yeah, of course, we as Christians, we should be sharing the gospel and we should be seeking peace within different relationships. Nobody would disagree with that. The real question then is this. Are you prepared to do what it takes to make peace? Like, we all long for peace, but are you prepared to do what it takes to make peace? Because the reality is that peacemaking is costly. Peacemaking is costly. Thomas Kempis wrote, "All men desire peace, but very few desire those things that make for peace." Ooh, you need to write that down. Avoidance? Avoidance doesn't make for peace. Wishful thinking without action does not make for peace. Silence, pretending, dodging, appeasement, these are all the marks of peace fakers. They give the appearance of peace, right? I'm just going to suppress my feelings, pretend like they're not there. I'm just not going to make any public display of anger. I'll just avoid this situation and just hope that it goes away. Those things appear like there's serenity on the surface to those watching from a distance, but that's not the path to peace. Avoiding conflict is not the way of God, and so it shouldn't be the way for us. See, peace and reconciliation require the hard work, and it comes at a cost. Did Jesus consider that cost? Was he willing to embrace that cost? Colossians 1 says, "Jesus Christ has reconciled to himself all things, whether in heaven or on earth, making peace by what? By the blood of his cross." See, he made peace through the cross. That is, through suffering and through death. Jesus forged peace not by denying the presence of evil in the world or by avoiding its power, but by courageously facing it head on. He obeyed the will of the Father, and he obtained our salvation, and these things were worth it. It was a hard-won peace, but the results were glorious, and the results were good. And so Jesus Christ is every bit worthy to be praised, amen? He is every bit worthy to be praised. And so the same is true for us. Peacemaking is costly, it may be painful, but the results, it's worth the price. It's worth the price. I know that you're walking into conflict this Christmas, I know. Either with family or neighbor, or maybe you're in the midst of it right now with coworker or a brother or sister in Christ. Are you standing on the hill of avoidance? Are you dodging the issue? Are you wishing it away? Are you pretending, appeasing, staying silent? Again, by God's grace, I challenge you. And not to do this in your own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peacemaking can only be done through the power of the Spirit. I challenge you to get off the hill of avoidance and to start courageously climbing that mount of conflict. Yeah, it will be painful. Yeah, it might hurt. But people's souls are at stake. People's eternal destiny is at stake. God's glory is at stake. Easy for you to say, Aaron. You don't know my situation. Like you don't know my family members. You don't know my friends. You don't know the deep hurt. You're right, I don't. And it is easy for me to say. It is easy to stand here and say, hey, everybody, go make peace. It's a lot harder to do. But like I tell my basketball team, everything you want is on the other side of hard. Everything you want is on the other side of hard. And I get that relational hurt seems to run the deepest, it does. And for some of us this Christmas, we're going to walk into some very old pain. It's been going on for years, perhaps generations. Maybe we're walking into new pain. It's been brought upon by the pandemic. I get that there's some relationships that, like, there's some relationships, you know exactly what you need to do. You know what you need to say, but you just don't want to. Or you're just scared to do it. Other relationships we have, you're just baffled. I've tried everything. I've done everything. It's been years. I don't know what the path of peace looks like. Peacemaking can be extremely frustrating. And again, because we like to be in control. And we learn pretty quickly that we can't control other people. Sometimes we learn we can't even control ourselves. Again, in parentheses, I have, sorry if this is not motivating. The good news is coming. I just want you to understand the realities of peacemaking, that it requires sacrifice. You might have to face disappointment, compromise. Forgiveness might be one of the hardest things we ever do. None of these things come naturally to us. And so if we are going to be fruitful in peacemaking, we need the Spirit of God to be working in us and working through us. And also this, we need to maintain a heartfelt awareness of how God has forgiven us in Christ. We need to keep the gospel at the center. So again, the key to making peace with others, just like making peace with God and peace within ourselves, is actually faith. As we set out to make peace with others, we need to trust the promises of God, allowing the reality that we were lost sinners and he forgave us, though we did not deserve it. That gospel truth needs to fuel us and refuel us as we do the hard climb up the mount of conflict. And so write down these two verses because they've been powerful and motivating to me during this season. Here's the motivation, and then I'll give you the balance. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. Maybe read this and pray this as you're driving to your next family gathering. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And here's the gospel truth, as God in Christ forgave you. But there's also a balance. Consider the balance. And Paul says this in Romans 12, chapter 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. What I would say is just do your part. Do the best you can before God. We need to be patient. We're walking into some heavy situations, some big conflicts. They're not going to be solved overnight. They might not be solved by us alone. But don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. We've been called to a higher purpose, amen. we as believers actually have something to live for. We as believers actually have something to die for. We have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. We have been called to forgive 70 times 7 when no one else will. We have been called to not just love friends, but to love enemies. And all of this is good. All of this is worth it. You know what I would love to see this Christmas? I would love to see, I'd love to see some people come to Christ who are lost in their sins going to hell. That's on my Christmas list. I would love to see some broken marriages restored this Christmas. Anybody else? I would love to see rebellious teenagers made right and reconciled with mom and dad. I'd love to see sibling rivalries end. I'd love to see families reunited for all the division that's gone on over the last 2 years. I'd love to see brothers and sisters in Christ return to love and unity. Are we praying for these things? Do we seek these things? Are we willing to step into the pain and seek peace? Well, there's glory in it. Go back to what the angels said. Not only do they say peace on earth, but what do they say right before it? It's beautiful to sing, but glory to God in the highest. Do you see how glory and peace are intrinsically linked? God receives glory, and we receive peace. So keep that in your mind. He did the costly work, and we got peace. He did the costly work, and we got peace. Keep that in mind as you pursue peace. You might get nothing out of it. You might only get pain, but praise God. Praise God. You humbled yourself. You put the interests of others before yourself, and though you got no accolades, though nobody saw it, nobody glorified you, God is glorified. And you've stored up treasures in heaven, and in that you can rejoice because that is gospel living. All right, finally, number 4. Make peace with God, make peace with yourself, make peace with others. Finally, make peace with suffering. What do you mean make peace? That seems like a oxymoron. I shouldn't go off script. Okay, that seems weird. Make peace with suffering. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 5 now, and let's end by looking at this together. Romans chapter 5, we read verse 1. I want to look at verses 2 to 5. Now, in the context here, Paul is talking about suffering, but he's talking specifically, he's not talking about the suffering that is common to all man, but specifically he's talking about suffering for the sake of the Lord, suffering for doing the work of the Lord. And so in one sense, I do hope that you can make peace with your suffering this Christmas. In other words, that whatever the situation is that you're going through, as difficult as it may be, that you will find comfort and joy in Christ through the midst of the hardships that you're facing. I pray for that. But in another sense, and more relevant to this message, I want you to consider peacemaking. That peacemaking comes at a cost. It brings about suffering, but in the suffering, we can rejoice because it produces certain things that Paul's going to tell us here in Romans 5. Let's read it together. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand right now. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we actually rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Again, just look at those words. Look at the scripture. Look at the incredible promises you have to help you make peace this Christmas. Verse 1, you're already at peace with God. Your salvation is secure. That can never change. It's an objective fact. It's a reality. You're justified. Even if you don't feel that sense of peace today, you are at peace with God. That never gets old. So verse 1 is a past reality. Verse 2, standing in God's grace. That speaks to this present reality. We are standing in that grace right now. It wasn't just grace for yesterday. It was grace for today. Christ is continually interceding for us. This is true. This is powerful. Verse 3 talks about our future, that one day we will be clothed in glory. Again, these are all gospel truths that we need to soak in that can renew us towards suffering, a right perspective towards suffering and peacemaking. And then Paul says here what the suffering actually produces in us. And again, let me just clarify what he's not saying, okay? He's not saying that we rejoice when someone gets diagnosed with cancer. He doesn't say that we rejoice when someone dies in a car accident. Okay, and these things, these are products of a broken world that we live in. We are to lament these things. We are to pray and to grieve and to support those in these situations, absolutely. He's also not saying that we rejoice when somebody is suffering the consequences of their sinful choices. In other words, somebody clearly sinned, did what was wrong, and now they're dealing with the negative consequences and suffering because of it. We don't celebrate that. Ha! You got what you want. You deserved. No, blessed are those who are merciful, God says. But on the other hand, if those consequences bring about an awakening to God, if those consequences bring about a conviction and a desire to change, then we say, praise God. But what Paul is talking about here, the suffering that we can rejoice in, is the suffering we endure for the sake of Christ and for the good of others. Are you willing to count the cost? What does it produce? Look what he says. It produces spiritual fortitude, endurance, right? It actually builds us so that we can go through more testings and more trials and make more peace with our neighbors because we've built endurance to go through it. It gives us wisdom and insight into situations that never even knew were out there, and we have this new way of being able to have sympathy towards somebody else and comfort them in their own afflictions. He says it produces godly character. It makes us more like Jesus. It produces hope. That is, less dependency on self and more dependency on God. Man, we need suffering sometimes to just break down that independence that we have and to, again, put our dependency back on God. With our selfish nature, our need for control, our perceived strength, we need trials and tribulations to humble us and to keep us focused and sharp. And again, I just hope you can see how all of these things will help you in your peacemaking. Man, if you're being serious about making peace with others this Christmas, what are you going to need? You're going to need some endurance. You're going to need some character, and you're going to need some hope. So don't run from suffering this Christmas. Make peace with God, and he will help you make peace with others. I don't think it's coincidence if you go back and read the Beatitudes that blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake comes right after blessed are the peacemakers. We're praying with you this Christmas season. For those who are apart from Christ and still living for self, that God would draw you in and that you would humble yourself and receive him by faith. Make peace with God this Christmas. And let's make peace with others. Make peace with our suffering so that we can be effective and fruitful in God's kingdom. Let's pray together.